Come on, give him a good praise. Encourage somebody next to you with your praise. The Lord is going to come through for you, just like he did for Hannah. The Lord is going to come through for you. Don't cast your profession away. For he that shall come, he will come. Amen. The Bible said he's not slack concerning his promises. Amen, buddy. How many believe that he's going to do exactly what he promised you? Amen. Give him a good praise if you believe it. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise and worship. Amen. Amen. Hang in there, people of God. You can have your seat. Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. God cannot lie. We learned around here that it's disrespect and a lack of honor when you don't trust God all the way through. It's a disrespect. It's almost like you're saying, God, I believe you lie. How many know God don't lie? How many know God don't lie? So if he promised you something, you hold on to it. You fight through all that you got to fight through to get to it, but you hold on to it. And you got to guard your mouth. You got to guard your mouth. You tell your neighbor, say, guard your mouth too. Because your mouth will mess you up quick. Shout out to our outreach team. They went out on yesterday. Amen. How did that go? Who all showed up with you? It's going to take a little bit more support. Tell your neighbor it's going to take a little bit more support. It's going to take a little bit more support. My wife went to one of the military installations, and she was talking about how many apparent gay and lesbian women's on that particular installation. She said it was shocking, openly. And you know what I said there, Deacon Sanders? Because Christians don't witness enough. They don't tell people that there's hope for them. When you see any type of sin going rapid, it's because the person that got the answer is walking around with their mouth shut. You the problem. And if earth don't get involved in the things that are problems in the earth, if the Christian don't get involved in the thing that's going on in the earth, how God gonna get involved? I'll wait, tell me. He's sovereign. He can do anything, but he is not. He gave dominion to you. He ain't going to get involved. If people don't get involved, God is not going to get involved. Tell somebody, say, God worked through you. Any church that is not concerned about lost souls or misrepresenting God. The people are all them tongues, all them prophecies. Look at somebody and say, keep them to yourself. Until you can lead somebody to the cross and get saved, don't nobody want to hear your deep revelation. Keep your mouth shut. Because you ain't excited. You ain't motivated about the things of God. So I don't believe you. I don't believe nothing that you say. Amen. I don't believe nobody who talking about they got something from God and they ain't concerned about souls. They a liar. Amen. So the women's going to be dancing at, it's Bell's Church. I can't even remember the name. What? Good News Church. That's the 9th of August. Amen. So if you can support them. And they're going to be having a dinner afterwards. The cost is $45. Seem like a lot. But look at your neighbor and say, we're not broke. Kids, is $20. Not my church. I already paid. My grandkids might not even go, but I paid for them anyway, because I come to the revelation what you make happen for other people, God will make it happen for you. And when you ain't interested in making it happen for other people, that's why God don't get involved in your stuff. He ain't concerned. Say, make it happen for somebody else. Amen. We all on the same team. We all on the same different parts of the city. We all trying to do the best we can. Amen. So if you can be there on the 9th to support the women and be a blessing to them, that would be a blessing to me. Amen. He's a good man. They're good people. Faith Week is this Thursday through this coming Sunday. Amen. So, no Bible study on Wednesday. The praise and worship, they'll be practicing from 6:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday. If you're not going to be there, please see me. Let me know that you're not going to be there. And we'll find a workaround. Amen. I know people got different schedules, but we'll find a workaround. So see me if you're not going to be there, praise and worship. And after Sunday service on Faith Week, we're going to be doing a barbecue. I think it's Metcalf Park. There's plenty out there to do for kids. It's all kind of stuff you can do, water stuff. We're going to bring the grill out. We're going to have a good time. Amen. And basketball courts are out there. Volleyball is out there. It's a lot of stuff for people to do. So if you got some equipment, bring it out there. I think they're playing a baseball game, too. Softball? Yeah, softball. If it's softball, I might be able to get with y'all. Baseball, not so much. Amen. I'm going to have co-pastor run for me when I hit, though. She's going to be a pinch handle. Thanks for everybody that's logging on for 24 to double. 24 to double is our growth tool. So everybody that got up on yesterday morning, and I know women were dancing and men was up here dancing and people was cleaning. So we still had a good turnout online. But if you went up here cleaning and you went up here dancing and you went online, turn to your neighbor and say, any old excuse to do. Okay. So, but we appreciate it. We're on a move. Amen. The men are going to, you still got an opportunity to order shirts for the women's conference. Okay. The shirts are not to make money. Nobody making money off the shirts. Okay. You just paying for what you're getting. And the shipping cards, and the ladies' shirt was pretty tight. They did it. I'm always skeptical about online stuff, but they actually did a really, really nice job. If I was a lady, I would buy one, but since I'm not going to buy one. But we got shirts for the men as well, and they did a really good job. So you can get the IDF Louisiana men are coming, and they really was the one who spearheaded it. They wanted a shirt. So they got another screen. Looks really good for the men. It's not exactly like your wife's, but it is for the women's conference. And you got to the 31st of July to do that. You can pay on tithely. Just put it up on the Darkest Sisters, and so we can allocate the funds to where it's supposed to go, and we'll know it's for the shirts. What's the cost? Oh, Lord, the order. I don't know the cost. Huh? They'll post it. But they'll post it. Okay. And thanks for everybody that sent us cards and gave us cards for our anniversary on the past week. And for everybody that, thank y'all. Appreciate that. And everybody that sowed seed. Once we got to Hawaii, people was sending us things, and we appreciate it. Co-pastor spent it all, though. But I was messing with her. I was trying to get my half. She was holding on that stuff tight. But send it to me next time so I can get my share first. Okay. All right. But anyway, we had a good time, and thank everybody for being a blessing to us. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Amen. All that you do for the church, all that you do for the ministry. And the truth of it is, co-pastor and I are low maintenance. We don't require nothing, almost nothing from people personally. But to serve the Lord and live, save, and make it to heaven, that's the requirement. Amen. Opportunity to prosper. 1 second, Deacon Strange. Stand to your feet, and we're going to do meet and greet. Go and love on somebody that you didn't come in with. Let them know they're around friendly people. Let them know that the Lord sent them here for a reason today. Give them a big old juicy hug, and God is good.
Another one since you didn't like the
hog,
because you put two in there, one
supposed
to put two in there.
Yeah, if they don't put them in there, it'll make my throat scratchy. If it's not wintertime, it'll make my throat scratchy.
Okay, so you don't
my
want
it? My voice is raspy now, because
okay.
I drunk that.
Okay.
So don't put nothing in it.
Okay.
It's good, so strong, so mighty, yeah. My God, bless for me. Goes beyond my wildest dreams. My God, my God, He's good, so strong, so mighty. My God plans for me goes beyond my wildest dreams. He's big, so good to me. Yeah. Say yeah. So good. So good. He's good. So strong. So mighty. My God plans for me goes beyond. So good. Yeah. So good. He's so good to me. Yeah. He's my God. He is my refuge. He's the rock on which I stand.
Hallelujah. I love it. I feel all the love in the place. Amen. If you make your way back to your seats, amen. This opportunity to prosper time, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Pastor kind of alluded to it last week in regards to investing and different things like that. How many is still doing our $50 a week? Amen. How many is still doing that? So for those of you that are visitors and first time attendees, I should say, and didn't hear. So Pastor kind of put out a message to say, just say $50 a week. Don't take from your tithes. We all know our tithes is 10%, right? Don't take from your offering, but set aside $50, amen. And you'll be amazed at what you'll have at the end of the year, amen. You know, 500 is more than you had, amen. So start where you're at, amen. So if you can't do 50, do 5. If you can't do 5, you know, do a dollar, you know, wherever you're at, amen. And so we're going to be coming from Ecclesiastes, amen, which is wisdom, patience, and faithful stewardship, amen. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who hastily comes only to poverty. Amen. Go to the next slide. Amen. So money is more than a financial resource. It is a stewardship entrusted to us by God. The Bible teaches that wise investing is not built on greed, fear, or chasing quick riches, but on faith, wisdom, patience, and diligence. Amen. God's words provide timeless principles that help us make sound financial decisions while honoring Him. These principles not only apply to money, but also to our investing over time, talents, and opportunities for His glory. Amen. And again, Ecclesiastes 11, we discover 3 financial principles that can help us become wise investors according to God's wisdom. Amen. So you can go to the next slide. Let time work for you. This is the hardest thing when it comes to investing and the people of God. Amen. They see a little bit of gain and they got a need and they'll pull the money for that need. Amen. And so we just have to make sure that no matter what, that's why we start with our emergency fund first, right? $1,000, 3 to 6 months. And then you can set long-term goals for investing. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 11:1 said, cast your bread upon waters, for you will find it after many days. Amen. You'll find it after many days. Go to the next slide. Amen. Solomon uses this illustration on sending ships across the sea with goods to trade. The return wasn't immediate. Amen. It required patience. Amen. So your investing requires patience. Likewise, wise investors requires trusting the process and allowing time to produce results. Today's culture promotes instant gratification, but God's economy often works through seasons. Amen. Seeds do not become harvest overnight. Amen. How many planted a seed and got it the next day? Raise your hand. I'll wait. No, I ain't gonna wait because we got other things to do. Great investments usually grow over time. Amen. Patience is often rewarded. Your patience will be rewarded. Don't become discouraged because results are delayed. Amen. If you know anything about investing, it goes up and down, up and down, up and down. But after the long term, you'll see if you're doing anything with investing now, you're getting anywhere between 10 and 20% a year. Amen. So that's why it's imperative that you invest. Amen. And then trust God's timing. Do we trust God's timing? Amen. Amen. Whether investing financially, building a business, developing a career, consistency over time often produces greater rewards than chasing quick profits. Amen. So don't chase quick profits. Amen. Go to the next slide. Even if you're a day trader, don't do quick profits. Amen. Just mess. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Psalms 1:3, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Whatever he does prospers. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase, will increase. $50 a week, you will increase. You have to continue to do it. Consistency is key. Go to the next slide. Always diversify. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Give a portion to 7, even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. And he's like, well, how do I diversify? Okay, so let me give you an example, right? We have our emergency fund in one account. We have our $50 a week going into another account. So that's how you diversify. But if we talk about long-term growth stocks, we're talking about, you know, S&P 500. We're talking about Tesla. We talk diversify. Make sure that you understand diversification. And there's a lot more to go into it. I'm just giving you the broad overview. But just make sure that you're diversifying them, okay? Go to the next slide. Solomon teaches that wisdom of spreading risk. Since no one knows what tomorrow holds, it is wise not to place everything in one investment or opportunity. Diversification allows that only God knows the future. Amen. Don't put your eggs in one basket. Prepare for uncertainty. Wise planning reduces unnecessary risk. Diversify investments wisely. This can include different types of investment, multiple streams of income, and consistently investing in your skills, relationships, and spiritual opportunities. I've heard that one income is too close to none. One income is too close to none, right? So if you make a lot of money on that one, kudos to you. But with everything going up, you might have to get another stream of income. And we're talking about two income households. That's essentially one. So you say, well, let me go out and get another. You have to do what you got to do. And remember, God rewards you in season. So in that season, you might have to go get another job. You might have to start another business. Once you've put it in a situation where you've done all you can do in that one business and you excelled right in that business, then start another one and branch off. Amen. Go to the next slide. Proverbs 27:12, the prudent sees danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay penalty. James 4:13-15, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Luke 14:28, which of you desiring to build a tower do not first sit down and count the cost. Amen. So you have to count the cost. And when we talk about that, you have to know about diversification. You have to know about stocks. You have to know about mutual funds. You have to know about bonds. You have to know about all these things, right? You have to know about SoFi. What's the APY? You have to know about all this stuff once you decide that you want to invest. Amen. Go to the next slide. Amen. Don't wait for the perfect time. That's our problem. We want to wait until we get more money, or we want to wait until we get a raise, or we want to wait until, and that's why I say start where you're at. And so Ecclesiastes 11:4, whenever, whosoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Amen. Go to the next slide. Many people never invest because they are waiting for the perfect market, perfect economy, or perfect opportunity. Solomon reminds us that if we wait until every condition is ideal, we may never begin. How many has been in that situation? I raise my hand. A lot of things have passed me up because I had to wait for the right time. And we're talking about investment stuff, right? Solomon reminds us, okay, faith and wisdom move forward despite uncertainty. Faith and wisdom moves forward. Faith and wisdom, right? Analyze whatever action leads to missed opportunities. Fear cannot become the greatest obstacle to growth. Wise action beats endless hesitation. Amen. Study, prepare, pray, and seek wise counsel. But don't let fear keep you from taking the next faithful step. Don't let fear keep you from taking the next faithful step. Next slide. Amen. Scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. James 2:17, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Amen. Go to the next slide. Amen. Biblical investing is ultimately an act of stewardship. God calls us to be faithful with what he has entrusted us with. Ecclesiastes 11 reminds us to let time work for us by exercising patience and consistency. Diversify wisely because only God knows the future. Take faithful action instead of waiting for perfect conditions. When we invest according to God's principle, we demonstrate trust in his wisdom rather than our own understanding. Amen. And that's Matthew 25:23. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Amen. So that's your opportunity to prosper. If you'll please stand, you'll be on the hands of the ushers. And one thing while y'all, everybody's standing up. And so, Pastor, God has given Pastor instructions to teach bits and pieces of financial literacy during opportunity to prosper. Not everybody know they have to pay their 10%. That's a command, right? We know that. You have to pay your offering. But we have, Pastor, God has led Pastor to do this, and myself included, to make sure that we are teaching financial education in the house of God. And we miss it a lot of times because we don't teach that in church because, oh, don't talk about money. All they're trying to do is get my money. Like Pastor say, did I ask you for any money? Right? So that's the thing. So we have to be financially wise so then that we can get the breakthroughs and blessings that God ultimately has for us. Amen? Amen. So you're under the hands of the ushers. Amen? You'll look up. It'll be your ways to get.
Say bless. Since thou hast walked uprightly and light in our dark land, since thou hast placed in thine heart all the Lord's commands, he set thee above the nations to cast thy enemies away. He's standing up within thee. So let me hear you say, we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the fields, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. feel. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed since thou hast walked uprightly, a light in our dark land. Since thou hast placed in thine heart all the Lord's commands, he set thee above the nations and cast thy enemies away. He's standing up within thee. So let me hear you say, we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the fields. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the fields. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody gave that one to give. Amen. Amen. That used to be my song when I first got saved, because I was blessed. I mean, I'm still blessed, but that's a good song. Amen. Amen. And then we're going to go into our confession of faith. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity, Lord. We thank you for entrusting us with your resources, time, and opportunities, Lord. We thank you for just allowing us to be good stewards in the mighty name of Jesus. Teach us how to invest, God, not out of fear or greed, but out of faith in your provision and wisdom, Lord. Give us the patience like a farmer who waits for the harvest. Help us to trust your timing even when results are slow, and keep us from growing weary and doing good. Give us wisdom to diversify and plans carefully. Remember that only you know what tomorrow holds, and give us the courage to act in faith in the name of Jesus, so we are never paralyzed by fear or endless waiting for perfect conditions in the name of Jesus. Search our hearts, Lord, and root out any love of money that competes with your love right now in the name of Jesus. Let every dollar be earned, saved, and invested to be a reflection of our trust in you rather than our own understanding, God. May we be found faithful in what you have entrusted us with, God. Good stewards who multiply what you have given us for your kingdom purpose. And when our work is done on this earth, God, we will hear you say, well done. But first, let us seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God. And we thank you for trusting us and giving us and adding to us in the name of Jesus, God. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's go to our confession of faith. Amen. One, two, three, go. If you could continue to stand, we'll get received by our pastor, Pastor Rhonda Woodson. Amen.
Amen. You can have a seat, please. Amen. We got a lot going. We're going to go to work here in a second. But still a lot of new faces. I'm glad Deacon Strange shared some of my heart. I think tithes and offerings is basic. I mean, that's like 101 stuff. And that's kind of a revelation of a person's heart. But in many of our communities, we don't really get the teaching. I remember as a young person, Brother Damien, when I first came in the military, I had a saved officer, Captain Ruben Ruiz. And he was trying to teach, you know, he was encouraging me to do things with finances like money market and stocks. And he's a saved guy. He was trying to help me out. But he may as well have been talking Greek because I just left food stamps. You understand what I'm saying? I just left food stamps and chopping cotton. I didn't know what he was talking about. I wish he had pressed harder to get me to understand how this could really impact my life and other people around us, our lives. And this is a great time for us, for people to catch up. He was talking about don't move with the clouds or the winds when you're doing these things, because it'll mess with your peace and it'll make you think you can't do it. And that's the exact time when you should be doing it. And so I'm going to stick with it because this is, I come out of that. I come from like nothing. I share with my wife, you know, certain things. Grab your Bible, go to Revelation 3. But I was sharing with her how, like, I don't like wasting money like during the holidays because it's just a man-made holiday. And she's like, well, why don't you like that if we can stay in Revelation 3? I said, because my dad would get a bonus every Christmas. And they did it out of love, but they would spend it all on us. And as soon as that presence was over India, you won't understand. But I remember how I felt before Christmas. And then I know how that spirit felt 2 days or a day after Christmas. I never liked it. I'm a kid. And I used to be thinking, because I never asked for much. I'm much the same way now. I'd be like, Daddy, why y'all didn't, you know, prorate this or sit on some of it or whatever the case may be. But that's where I come from. So part of it is most of the people who join this church, I'm just giving our visitors kind of, they'll understand our opportunity to prosper. But most of us came in with nothing, and we live in just working principles that's been hidden in the Bible. Just working that and then giving them the practical principles that they got to do something else when they leave the church. And it's turning people's lives around, half for the last 10, 15 years. And even though people don't understand it, I don't care. I ain't never stopping it. I don't care if people get offended. I don't care if they give. Because God really gave me a blank check when I started this ministry. That when I say a blank check, he said, you believe for it. And watch this. And I've said this before. The mandate was, if they don't, this I know a blank check. If the people don't give nothing, you still fund my vision. That's a blank check. That means that I have the ability to believe beyond your pocketbook. It don't bother me at all. Okay. But it'll definitely help you if we'll just work godly principles together. How many know the body of Christ should come up together? It shouldn't be 5 Escalades and 2 Hoopties. It should be 7 Escalades. Amen. We should all, you know what I mean? I'm just using that as a general thing, but we ain't going to be talking about none of that today. So buckle up. Tell your neighbor, say, you came on a good Sunday. Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church of the angel where you hear people come into church, they say the angels of the house, they talking to the pastors or somebody that's over that church, somebody with authority of the church of Sardis. Write these things unto those who have 7 spirits of God, the 7 stars. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou liveth and are dead. Underline that. You have a reputation or a name that you live, but you dead. Then he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before me, God, he says. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and held fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee like a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few things, few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. So these are congregants. These are people in there. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They are worthy. And then he says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess thy name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church today. Father, I thank you right now. Think through my mind. Speak through my mouth that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Asks for utterance, asks for the anointing. I ask for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, say, this is going to be real good. You can have your seat. I want to key in on that. I was going to talk about salvation because it's baptismal Sunday. I worked on something earlier this week, and I was going to do that. But the later I got into this week, God really shifted my heart towards something else. And this is for the believer, the person that is born again. Everybody say born again, born from above. And it's going to really deal with the thing of the theme or the thought on forgiveness or forgiveness, however you want to say it. But these people right here in Revelations 3, they had a reputation of being alive. I want to show you how once you get saved and how you get born again, how things can impact your life going forward. A lot of people who are born again are falling off the scales, the salvation scales. Much of it is because no talk down to nobody, but a lot of people have not changed a lick since they got saved. They have not grown at all. And when you're not growing, one of the things that the devil is, one of the major things, I wish the whole church was here. It's a lot of people missing today. They probably want to need it. But one of the things that the devil going to do to you, he going to set you up for offense. And it'll wreck you, especially if you already got a stink spirit and you ain't dealt with it. There's a portion of the body of Christ who will not strip themselves of their carnal nature because it's profitable to them. Meaning that the same way, and the devil has camouflaged it, my sister, by saying stuff like, I'm going to be real with you. Amen. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be straight with you. I try to teach my granddaughter, even my grandson now. He wasn't like that. One of the best kids I know, and I'm not just saying it because he's my grandkid, but I would always tell him, don't do everything to come to your head. Don't say everything to come to your head. I'm working with my granddaughter right now. Sometimes it's not about riddling, it's you programming them. It's not about sedation. It's about parenting. Everybody say parenting. And you don't push that off on me because your child ain't mine. You don't push that off on the children's church. That's not your kid, your grandkid. That's not our kid. I mean, it is, but it ain't. It's yours. You don't push that off on teachers and educators. That's why they're quitting. By the groves, educators are quitting. One particular lady by my neighbor, one of her coworkers quit to go work at Lowe's, and she had 13, ain't nothing wrong with Lowe's, but, she went to go work at Lowe's after 13 years of teaching because people try to push that off on somebody else. Look at your neighbor and say, your child is your responsibility, but you can reprogram or you can program a person to believe and do things the way that God wants them to do. And one of the things that I want to point out in dealing with going back to this text is that in verse number one, he says, I know your works. You got a reputation or a name that you are alive, but you did. I'm going to show you how unforgiveness and bitterness and things like that will kill your spirit. And this is why you see it wasn't COVID. It wasn't COVID that killed the attendance in church. Pastors had been pastoring dead people for years. And they was just looking for a way to escape. And you know they did because spiritually dead people, they are cold. They are always frowning. They are always mad. They spiritually dead. They are always upset about something. Right? And they will not attack it at the root because they are dead. Faces are dropped to the ground, you know, and that's why they be trying to get Botox to lift their face up. They be trying to, they want to lift their face up. They trying to fool somebody, but their spirit is their face is really a reflection of what's happening in their spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, turn your frown upside down. Smile a little bit like you're alive. And so Jesus is addressing the spiritual deadness and the people. He was trying to get the people to see, Sister Erica, that they need to be revived. And the way the church has missed revival is that they were thinking that it was solely about bringing people in, and then you're going to have three services for a whole week and that's going to do it. But no, you got to be revived sometime in private. I've seen people go into emergency rooms and they are dead, and they don't wheel the gurney out in the place where all the people are sitting to get treated in the treatment of the triage area. They wheel you back in some private area and then they say clear. But they don't shock you in front of everybody. Meaning sometimes you get dead in private and then you got to get resuscitated in private in your own home rather than trying to come to church to get your life back. That's a different thing. You might not make it here. And so he's saying that they got to be spiritually revived. Say, revive me again, oh God. And he's trying to let these folks know that there are some things in your life that only God can do it. Shout that three times. Say, only God can do it. Only God can do it. Only God can. When you are spiritually dead, only God can revive you. When you are dead, it's not the preacher. I think you're mistaken if you're chasing preachers. You find people running all around the country trying to find a word from a prophet. What is a living word from a live prophet going to do to a dead body? You are dead. That word is not even good for you. You got to be resuscitated first before you can even do anything with the word. But they running around and they are dead man walking. They are spiritually dead. And when a person is spiritually dead, it's only a matter of time before they drop off. They're going to drop off from the church. It's just like anything on a body. When it's dead, a tree or a plant or whatever, when it's dead, it falls to the ground. Proof that it is dying. It is dying. And after a period of time, you'll see nothing but the shell of it or the seeds of it to demonstrate that it had potential, but it's dead. But if you're dead today, God can bring you back to life. Amen. We're going to teach on that. We're going to show how the people are letting this manifest in them. And one of the things that'll kill a church, watch this, even a person's personal spirit is like unforgiveness. I've never seen it so strong like right now. And, you know, a lot of times we don't understand the people. So people become the problem if you can't even identify what their real issue is. Now, here's the thing. It takes a little bit of discernment because my business is my business. And even though God may try to get you to help me, he won't divulge all my stuff to you. So discernment has to look at a person and say, they're not no bad person. They're a good person. But you can see they've had some trauma. They've had some issues. They've had some hurt. They've had some disappointment in their life. And we don't want to throw them. We don't want to contribute to the problem that they are housing. See, many cases we add on to the problem, even though if God show you anything about the person, somehow you the solution. Or at least a part of the solution, but offense won't let you see that. All you can see is that they said something wrong, or they was looked at you wrong, or they bumped you wrong, or they didn't call you. But how many know say it's a little deeper than that? So the church of Sardis, they had shifted from the name, watch this, of being alive, and they shift to a place of being known for being dead now. They were alive one time. The Bible said they were alive. They were known for being alive, and then now they're on the verge of being spiritually dead. Don't look at nobody and say, what happened to you? Some of us have changed because of what happened to us. And we are not always mean and harsh for no reason. No, somebody has done something to you. You weren't always pessimistic. Some of us are always negative. We always find, we cannot find the silver lining in nothing. All we see is the darkness. All we see is what's wrong. We don't see nothing good that's happening in the church. The word that can be preached right, and they say one scripture wrong, and that's all you key in because you're pessimistic. And a pessimistic person is an indication that they're dealing with a devilish God, a devilish devil, and rather than a God who brings forth light that can show us the silver lining in every single situation, no matter bad or good, you can find God in it. You look at the devil's name, D-E-V-I-L, the E-L. God can stand up right in the middle of whatever the devil is doing in your life if you allow him to stand up in it. But we won't look for God in the middle of what the devil say. God can stand up in the middle of it if you let him stand up in the middle of it. He's the E-L God. The God in the middle of it. Whatever storm you in, say, tell somebody, say, God is right in the middle of that. And so you wasn't always disheartening and not trusting people. What happened to you? You used to could find the good in people. Now all you look for, you're careful and watchful about everybody. And some of us have ran off our blessing. You ran off the man that God sent to you that he was going to give you your Boaz. You ran him off because you wouldn't deal with your own hurt. You ran off the woman that was supposed to be your roof because you didn't want to deal with your own stuff. And now you're skeptical of the person that God sent to lock up with you and be one with you because you are distrusting of every man ain't a dog. Well, none of them are dog. They just act like dog. And every woman ain't some whatever. Ask your neighbor, say, what happened to you? So he sent me to tell some people today that he's getting ready to move some of us because some of us are in this state of pretending. But God is going to move you from pretending to be alive to really being alive. He's going to move you from pretending to healing. He's going to move you from acting spiritual and masking what's really going on in your heart to a place where you are really alive again. Yeah, you sing, but you dead. You play, but you dead. You preach, but you dead. You usher, but you dead. And you're mean as a rattlesnake. Yeah, you with the kids, but you're dead. But say, God can bring us back to life again. Ask your neighbor, say, let me feel your hands. When somebody is dead, they are cold. They are lifeless. They are emotionless. People are not born like that. I mean, we all have emotions. Emotions help you enjoy life. But when a person is cold, they numb because they dead. Ask your neighbor, say, let me feel your hands. Because when a body is wheeled into the mortuary, if you've ever been in there, maybe somebody has passed and they let you view the body. A lot of times you can grab the hand and the hand is cold because it's lifeless. It's dead. It's a dead person. And they are cold. They cold about their relationship with God. They cold about their marriage. They cold about their destiny. They lifeless when it come down to the church. They don't care about nothing and nobody no more, brother. Do you know why? Because they dead. They let me feel your hands. Because some of us been pretending to be alive. We got a reputation because we can fool people with our shout. Because you up here, but if they come up here and grab your hand, they'll realize that you dead. You preach and you can stir the church up, but if they grab your hand, they can realize that you are really cold. If they get you in the right scenario and they talk to you, they'll realize that you are dead. Ask somebody, say, let me hold your hand. Jesus talks about in Luke 17, he said unto the disciple, it is impossible, he says, but offenses will come, but woe, watch this, woe unto him through whom they come. Through whom they come, Sister Erica, the hurt person, the damaged person, the person that got unforgiveness in their heart. Just because you been hurt or been damaged or been wounded don't mean that God ain't holding you accountable for doing things to other people. Woe by who they come through. Who they come through, he says they can become a stumbling block to other people's faith. Why? Because they always negative. They always, the person come in, they're young in the faith. But because you have unforgiveness in your heart, some preacher hurt you, you birth a distrust in the person, the pole man, the shepherd that God was going to use to feed them, you put in them that he peddling poison. Because the preacher hurt you. And because you do this to other people, you're hurting people. And he says, be careful about who they come through. He says, it would be better for that person that a millstone was hung around their neck and they be cast into the sea, that they should offend one of the little ones, not only children, people who are learning how to live saved, people who just got saved. And then they bump into you and you've been in the church for 30 years, but you are unhealed and you are damaged and you are hurting and people keep elevating you in ministry and the pastor is laying hands on your head because you looked the part only because he has never grabbed your hand. Say, let me feel your hand. Let me hold your hand. Let me see if you are lifeless, if you are dead, if you are numb, if you are powerless. Because it's going to affect everybody that come up under you. Just tell your neighbors, let me hold your hand. He says, take heed to yourself. In other words, pay attention to you. Pay attention to you. Do you know when you've fallen off? Do you know I can look at you and assume that you are having a symptom or a heart attack and that may be nothing wrong with you, but you know when you have it one. You know when you're sitting there, a person, I believe every person knows when they are dying. I believe everybody knows. And when a person senses this, this ain't no time for us to be binding the devil. This is the time to maximize the time. I apologize to you. I apologize to you. I wasn't a good father. I love you, son. I love you. I did this. This is time to clean up. To make sure that I don't depart and I got all of this unforgiveness in my heart and people walk around carrying this. Did my daddy love me? Did my mama love me? Did my pastor love me? And then the whole time God has done told them, but the whole time a person know. My sister worked for a man and he was getting ready to check out and he didn't die instantly. For over a week, God sent angels into his room. He a sinner. He's a sinner. In my town, in the town that I grew up, this was a racist period in our history where I come from. And they tied a man up to a mule, and they bound him, and they drug him through our town on cobblestone and killed him, and then tarred him and feathered him. And when they took the picture, chuckle, he's standing right there by the body. It's public history. They wrote a book about it, did a documentary on it. He's standing right, and the same person that he tarred, now God got people that he was tarring caring for him in the last stages of his life. Uh-huh. And she's ministering to this guy. Mm-hmm. She since went to be with the Lord her own self, but she's ministering to this guy. Because she's an in-home caregiver. Watch this. And he's telling her, I keep seeing these giant men in armor come and stand at my door every night. At a certain time of the day, they would come into his room and they would position himself by his bed and by his door entering in. And this heathen guy is led to God by my sister. What was God doing? God was telling this guy that your time is up. And he put saved people around him because eventually his hands was going to be cold. His body was going to be cold. There's no point in trying to resuscitate him. His time was up, and he knew he was dying. He knew he was leaving this place. I want to tell somebody, if you in that place right now, they know. But when he passed, she talked about his hands being cold. Ask your neighbor, say, let me feel your hand. So people know they have an opportunity to get stuff right with people, and they do not take it. They want to bind the devil. They want to plead the blood. Rather than saying, I got a few seconds left. I got a few days. And how many know ain't nothing wrong with that? There's a point in unto man wants to die. And when you die in Christ, at least when I wake up again, I don't ever have to go through this no more again. But God, he says, I'm the God of the living, what? Not the dead. And this is why you want to hold a person's hand, because it can tell you where they really at. God is a God of the living, not the dead. So Jesus is saying, he said, take heed, pay attention to yourself. He says, if thou brother transgress against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Rebuke, correction, forgive. Rebuke, if they correct the behavior through repentance, then you are to forgive. You rebuke them. Don't run to me if you got a problem with him. No, you go rebuke him. Because this, the Bible, Jesus is clear that this is your brother. At a certain point, as you start maturing in God, what would it look like for my two sons to be in an argument and then they run into my mom, their mama, to say, mama, you're gonna deal with this. You settle this. No, he say, you go and you rebuke him. And when he repents, he'll correct this, and then we won't have to, now I can forgive him. He didn't say rebuke and then forgive. He says rebuke, he repents, correction, and then forgive. And a lot of people, God, you have rebuked them. They have repented. They have changed. But you have changed also. You move from a place of walking in forgiveness to living in unforgiveness. Meaning the offense that they brought towards you changed them. Even though they repented and changed, you changed also. So if he hurts you, you don't change. He needs to change. If you change, it's most of the time for the negative. So if a person hurt me, I stay the same because I did nothing to warrant that. He repents and he corrects his behavior. And then my job is to do what? Forgive them. Why is this such a hard thing for people? And you can obviously see that they've changed. You can see that's not the same man. That's not the same woman. That's not the same. And people have a problem forgiving preachers for whatever reason. Do I believe there's a time where people need to sit? Yes. But that's the same person that prayed you through. Amen. And they're not superior and from, they're not some demagogue. They're a man, they're a woman just like you. There are going to be times where things come across the pulpit that offend you. One thing. What about the other 99 things that helped you? Do you walk away because of one offense? One wrong? Is anybody entitled to a bad sermon or a bad day or a sleepless night and they still show up to do it? But you don't turn on them because Jesus said offenses are inevitable. They're going to come. They're going to happen. Say that's going to happen. And unforgiveness is deadly. Offense is going to come. Unforgiveness is deadly. But forgiveness is mandatory. Jesus says you are to forgive them. You don't know what they did. You don't understand the power of the blood, obviously. If the blood can wash you, it can wash them. If the blood can heal you, it can heal them. But you don't want to die in that condition. God can do something about this thing. The disciples said, hey, increase our faith. And Jesus said, he says, you got mustard seed faith. It's not the size of the faith that you had. He says, it's the obedience to what I asked you to do. Meaning you don't have to have a whole bunch of faith. He said you can forgive a person with the smallest amount of faith if you want to be obedient to me. Why? Because obedience is not the same, but it parallels faith. Naaman was not healed necessarily by faith. He didn't want to dip. He dipped out of obedience and he was healed. You can be healed just by being obedient to what God said. Tell somebody, say, God said, forgive them. Because the truth is this, there are moments when what was done to us gets in us. Amen. I know people don't want to deal with it because we like to make everybody think that we good. But I'm telling you, I know people ain't good. And I know things that people don't know I know. And God, and they didn't tell me, God told me about them. That's why they are so brash with their mouth. That's why they are so harsh. That's why they're so quick. With these sharp tongues, because they have not dealt with their own inner hurt. They own disappointments. They've not matured in these areas. And watch this. And these people come to church. And they function in callings and they serve in ministry and they are not healed. And their calling does not necessarily, it doesn't, their inability to be healed doesn't reject their calling, but they shouldn't be messing with their calling if they refuse to be healed, because they are going to hurt more than they help sometimes. And they definitely got a calling. It's not the calling. Ask your neighbor, say, are you healed? They're not healed. And God called them to be on your team. Meaning that you need them. You don't drive them away. We seek the Holy Ghost. Say that. We seek the Holy Ghost. Say it again. We seek the Holy Ghost how to respond to each other. We seek the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. And there is a difference between praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. And he who knows the mind of the Spirit will reveal to you what's going on, or at least a portion of it. And he is trying to help the body of Christ today. But these things that people refuse to forgive, people who have sinned against them, and what's happening is it don't just stay on the surface. These are not external wounds. They are like an infection. They'll get under your skin. You ever seen somebody that's been hurt so bad that you see that person? You ever heard somebody say, they just get under my skin? You think they just playing? Something is happening in their heart. And we have been dismissive with them. Every time I see them, what's wrong with you? They just bother me every time I see them. Amen. I'm glad somebody can tell the truth. That's getting under their skin. It's like an infection. But watch this. It will. Most infections. Do you know that you can die from a bad teeth? Literally die from a bad teeth. Because it can poison your bloodstream. And as it poisons you, it gets down to into you, and it can move. It's just like anything else. It can move towards your heart. It can get in your blood and move towards your heart. And before you know it, you are dead for something that was so simple that had you cared for it. It's in your mouth. Nobody's prying around in your mouth, meaning that it was private at a period. And now it's to the public because everybody is reading your spiritual obituary. Watch this. Actually, they would say, let me feel your hands. And you died from something simple. And many people are dying spiritually, brother, from something simple that they should have been able to recover from. They should have been able to bounce back from this with no problem. And they said, well, no, what's going on? I was just hurt in church. What happened? Well, they didn't open the door. Didn't open the door. Say, come on, man. Cold. The resuscitator is here, though. I said the resuscitator is here. Go to Proverbs 4. He can revive you. He'll warm you back up. You say, what's happening to me, God? I don't care about coming no more. They don't refer to you, their church as our church. They say y'all church because they dying spiritually. That was a time when they would never miss a service. Yeah. Now it don't bother them. No emergency. No work. Dying. Miles Monroe said one of the things that the saddest thing in the earth is not that people die, but they die full. All the potential that they couldn't tap into that was nestled in them, God put it there. Not that they leave, but they left the earth full because they couldn't tap into it. The resuscitator is here. The Holy Ghost is here to help some of us move and graduate. We all got our lumps and bruises. We all got our scars. We all got our things that should have took us out. But the Lord is saying to somebody, you died in a season because something happened to you that was catastrophic. And you never gave me thanks for all the stuff that was positive up to that period and all the stuff that was positive after the period. You got locked into a season where something died. And you blame the present and the past, and God was good to you the whole time. God was good to you through all of your struggles. That's how you made it out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to anybody? God was good to you when you wasn't good to you. God got you up out of beds when you didn't know how you was going to get your feet up. All you know that you was walking through the house, you was cooking for your kids, and you was in a state of numbness, but the Holy Ghost was resuscitating you. And he is warming your heart back up today because the Holy Ghost is saying he's not finished with you. Don't die with all your potential locked up on the inside of you. He is not finished with you. You have a lot to offer to the world. Proverbs 3. Are you in Proverbs 3? Proverbs 4. I'm sorry. Proverbs 4:23. Because unforgiveness is often surrounded with pain. Most of the time. It's surrounded by something that Proverbs 4:23 that's trying to poison you internally. I shared the story, the lady, when I first got to Oklahoma, She was dying of cancer. No. I mean deathbed dying. I mean couple hours dying. And the man of God went to visit her. And as he's visiting this lady, he had been praying. They had been interceding for this woman. People been up in there praying for her. And in this particular case, he asked her about her husband. I know a similar one, but this is different. This is in Oklahoma. And her ex-husband had did some things to her, or her current husband, this one's the current husband, had did things to her, and she would not forgive him. And he pointed out to her that God was saying that he would raise her up off of that bed if she would forgive her husband. She, bitterness, unforgiveness had turned to bitterness, and she was poisoning herself from within spiritually. She was dying from something that she could, had she let go of it years ago, probably never in that situation, but she wouldn't let it go. She would not forgive when God told her to forgive. Now she's dying from something that, because when the devil comes, he comes to deposit something in you. He don't just come to just mess with your mind. He come to deposit something in you. And he prays for her. She forgives her husband. And when I left, she was still alive. You understand what I'm saying? There is hope if you're in these hopeless situations. But I'm trying to tell you that it can affect your health, your physical health, when you don't let go what God say, let go. And it's also surrounded by pain and shame. I had to give it to you how he put it in my heart this morning. And he specifically said that people in that would be in this service today. That you allowed unforgiveness to turn into bitterness into you, in you, because of something that was done to you. And you shame about the incident. And you embarrassed about the incident, and you are mad about the incident. But the Lord said to remind you this morning that you were the victim. You don't have to be ashamed about something or embarrassed about something. Well, the devil came in your life and you were the victim. And you have allowed the enemy to lock you into this unforgiveness. And God say, and I got you out of that, didn't I? I made sure that you came up out of that situation. But you locked into a phase of your life because you forgot that you were the victim and you bearing the shame, and you and the perpetrator is free. But it's time for you to be free today. Amen, 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 amen. It's time for some of us to be free today. You were the victim. You didn't cause any of that. You was in the right place. You wasn't in the wrong place. The predator was in the wrong place. And they were implanted by Satan to disrupt your future. But God is healing futures today. God is healing presence today. He is healing future. He is healing whatever. He is healing your past. When you think about it, it will not bother you anymore. The Holy Ghost is healing your heart. Somebody shout amen. Ask them, say, let me feel your hand now. I feel it warming up. Come on, say, I feel it warming up. Let me feel your hand. The Holy Ghost is in your heart and he's moving right now. The Holy Ghost is touching you now. And anything that he touched warms up. Anything he touched comes back to life. Anything that he touches finds his joy again. Anything that he touched will move from weeping to dancing. Anything that he touches has a shout. I'm telling you, God is doing it. But in Proverbs 23, he says, watch this. Because God's stopping bleeding hearts right now. I don't know who you are, but I know you're here. And I may not get no answer, but I know God is talking to you. He says, guard your heart with all diligence. Everybody say that. Guard your heart. The way that you guard your heart is when the devil is on the offense, you have to play defense with your heart. When the devil is on the offense, you play defense. You guard your heart. You block for him. It's like alignment in football. They're guarding. They're playing a position. They won't let a certain person pass or impede their progress or just get to a certain place. You stop the enemy from maneuvering. You have to slow down what he's doing. You have been given authority to stop, to bind the enemy when he's coming at you crazy. When he's talking to you and trying to pull you back and trying to lock you into, you know what? You got a right to be mad. Yeah, but you don't have a reason. You have a reason, brother, but you don't have a right. What they did to you was horrible. It was horrific. It probably deserves, I don't even know who I'm talking to, but it probably deserves some jail time. But sometimes the devil will use other people to use people to block the predator. And you feel like there was no justice done to you. They should have went to jail. They should have went to jail. But sometimes people don't know how to process it, especially when it's in the family. So they think that they can fix it all. But this is why he said, reminded us in Revelation, there are some things only God can do it. There's some things that only God can put back together. There's only some things that God can heal. The depth of it is so, the depth of it is so deep, it requires a specialist. All doctors ain't the same. And what's in us, some of us, is so deep that it takes the precision hand and the precision of the Holy Spirit to say, start working in us and start cutting it out and start healing us and confronting us with it. Do you know a lot of people exit this life because they just too refuse to acknowledge what they're feeling? Something is off and I can feel it. Go to the doctor. It's going to be all right. Go to the doctor. Oh, I got it. And every day they complaining about it, but they will not go to the doctor. And then in the final hour, the doctor tells the family, hey, I could have saved this. This was totally operable, preventable. They could have recovered. They would not acknowledge what was really in them. Look at your neighbor and say, what is happening to you? And had they just went to the doctor, they could have been totally healed. Some of us, even in this room right now, you could have been totally healed. You would not even acknowledge what was happening to you. And the Holy Ghost was pointing it out. The preacher was pointing it out. Loved ones was pointing it out. And you were saying, ain't nothing wrong with me. I got this. But tell somebody, say, why don't you let God handle this? Only God can do it. Only God can do it. And he will do it. He says, if you acknowledge him in what? All your ways. And so he's saying to somebody this morning, he's going to stop that hemorrhaging. From all that betrayal, he's going to stop the hemorrhages from that disappointment. He's going to stop you from bleeding out from the things that your family did to you and your preacher did to you and folks that you trusted deal with you. Say, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Tell three people, you're not going to bleed out. Come on, tell them, say, you're not going to bleed out. You're not going to spiritually collapse in front of me. Me and the Holy Ghost are interceding for you. We're not going to let you die in our presence. The Holy Ghost is touching your heart. He is moving in your heart this morning. You should let him in. You should have said, this is in me, God. I know it's in me. Get it out of me. Whatever you find in me, God, take it away. Whatever is not like you, God, take it away. Whatever you don't want in me, God, take it away. You can keep it if you want to. It's your business. Whatever you want to hold on to, he'll let you hold on to it. But your confession is going to become your possession. You should have been saying, God, whatever's in me that's not like you, I want you to take it out of me. Whatever's not a reflection of the goodness of you, take it out of me. Whatever's causing me to be bitter and mean like a rattlesnake, shout, take it out of me, God. Take it out of me. And he will do it. He will do it. His hand is not shortened that he can do it. God can touch you right where you're at, even when you're hiding. Sit down. I got about 5 minutes and I'm out of here. I got to find a place to stop. But he'll do it. Some of us was born with things people worked their whole life to get. I mean, like tender hearts. What happened to you? Do you realize that when you see a kid with like a really pliable heart, that's a gift from God. And then some mama or brother make them coarse and hard because they got beat up on the playground. Beautiful gift. And you look at the childhood photos and you look at them as they age and the eyes are different. It's not all the time what's happening in them. It's what happened to them. What happened to you? You wasn't always angry like that. Much of your early days, you were very positive and folks wanted to be around you. But you let what happened to you get in you. The Holy Ghost getting it out, though, even as I'm talking. I don't know. I ain't in no shortage of words. I'm letting him cut everything out of you that's supposed to be cut. Because you better than your behavior. Tell somebody you better than your behavior. You better than your behavior. Prophesy to him. Say you better than your behavior. We're not going to live out the destiny of the devil. We're going to live out the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are better than your behavior. Don't disqualify yourself from change because your behavior don't reflect the God that you serve. But you better than that. God say you better than that. Let me give you one more scripture. Then we're going to get out of here. Matthew 24:14. And you got to stop this when you, I don't care no more. Man, that's, you're in a bad position. I've heard spouses say, I don't care no more. You ain't in no good. It ain't that the marriage is in a bad shape. You in bad shape. And you can get away with it because you go to work and you pretend. But you the one ain't in good shape. Uh-huh. You can find people, they don't care. The kids can do so much as our kids get older. And I've heard people say, I don't care no more. You're not in good shape, mama. You should care. You think the police gonna intercede for them? Who gonna intercede from them? Somebody prayed you out. You remember how you was? When a person was interceding for you, they were sending the Holy Ghost into your situation. And you made it out. You changed. Your mama, your grandmama, your big papa, your big mama, they prayed for you. That's why we're here. We lift up our hands. We worship because somebody was interceding for us. And you'll hear parents say, I don't care no more. What's happened to you? I used to be attached to that church. And then this and this. And I don't care no more. I'm just ready to go. What happened to you? You was once alive. And you knew the devil was a thief. You knew he was trying to take from you. You knew he was trying to kill and destroy your future. You knew this going in. Why didn't you resist? He says in Matthew, let me give you this last one. I got to get out of here. He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? I've never seen this. But the truth of it is, I can't change the world, but I can change me. Why did God give us this scripture? Because this scripture is prophetic. It ain't if it's going to happen. It's happening right now. There is so much lawlessness in the world. There is so much lawlessness. No rules in the family. There is so much lawlessness, brother. No rules in the church. So because we don't like boundaries, we just impede on other people's freedom. Take over their space. And we'll do it and not even blink an eye. Go home and sleep at night like a baby and just hurt 5 people in the church and it doesn't even bother them. Because they are lawless. They hate rules. They don't like things that would govern their life. The rules are to protect you from hurting me and from me hurting you. But there's so much iniquity being practiced in this all sin, but transgression is me against you. Sin is directed towards God directly, and then iniquity is sin that we practice internally. When you are practicing unforgiveness, that is iniquity. When you are bitter and you live it out and you practice it out, that's you're practicing internal sin. Because you are choosing to hate. You are choosing to dislike. You are choosing to be that harsh towards a person. You are practicing that. And Jesus says, he says, because iniquity shall abound. But where sin abound, the Bible say, grace much more abound. Tell somebody, say, function in grace. Give me a little grace. I know I'm not perfect. I know I messed up. I know I've done wrong. I know I've said things. I know I haven't been the best husband. I haven't been the best wife, but show me a little grace. I haven't been the best parent, but I have repented. I have changed in this season of my life. Tell your neighbor, say, give me a little grace. Because you ain't perfect either. Tell them, say, give me a little grace. Because you ain't perfect either. I may not have been the best husband, but you ain't been the best wife. Give me a little grace. I ain't been the best parent, but you ain't been the best child. Give me a little grace. I ain't been the best preacher, but you ain't been the best member. Give me a little grace. He warming you up today. Stand to your feet. Let's get out of here. We got some other stuff to do. I just got to stop. Get the Lord good hand praise. You coming back to life today. You coming back online today. Your spirit is coming back online today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a good praise if you're going to praise him. Don't patty cake. Go ahead and praise the Lord for about 15, 20 seconds. Go ahead and touch the rim, the hem of his garment. He's sitting in heaven. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Go ahead and magnify the Lord. Make him large in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you, you got to praise and you lift up the name of the Lord. Lift up the name of the Father. Hallelujah. God want to be good to some of us. He's trying to prevent some of us from derailing our future. There's more in you. There's greatness hidden in you. And the Holy Ghost going to get it out. Father, if there's any wounded, if there's any unhealed, if there's still any hurting amongst us that have not purposely, but they have walked in unforgiveness. Or maybe there's
We've allowed a root of bitterness in our heart. I cancel that right now. I cancel it right now. May you look at your husband different. I curse the root of bitterness in you now. May it dry up immediately. May you look at your wife different. May you look at your, you should lift your hands real high. Because you've never really surrendered to God. You've never made him, you have made him Lord. You have made him Savior. You have never made him Lord. You have never surrendered to God. And that's where a lot of your internal conflict come from. You were not, you just too mean. You are too mean. God, the Holy Ghost is saying you function in meanness. You are mean. You are mean spirited. I curse that mean spirit in you. May it dry up at the root. May there be no scars left in your soul as the Holy Ghost puts you back together. May you heal the hurting hearts from betrayal, from disappointment. Hey, there's a couple people in here. God gonna heal you. But adultery changed you. You were the victim. You still really kind of mad because there was really no, you didn't feel like there was no real repentance. There was really no sorrow. I'm saying God giving me specifics so you'll know I'm talking to you. But that incident changed you. And you stayed. But it changed you. But God is changing you back. Lift your hands up high. God is giving you the heart you had before the incident. God is giving you the heart you had. I know this is right too. That's why I ain't gonna have no altar call. You got to receive it where you at. But that changed you. But God is changing you back. He's giving you a heart of flesh now. He's taken away the heart of stone. He's going to give you a heart of flesh. May this never be a thorn in your heart, in your mind, in your marriage going forward. May the blissfulness of that come back now. I want to talk to wounded children that's harboring unforgiveness in your heart towards your parent that has blocked so many could have been from the Lord for you because he told you to honor them. Not because of their perfection, but because they preceded you and they birthed you. And he said for you to honor them. If they never ask you for forgiveness, the Lord, the Holy Ghost is saying, you release them now. If they have been harsh and critical of you, let me let you know I'm talking to you. I can point you out, but they never really believed in you. All of your success was really trying to prove your parents wrong. That you could actually do it. And God did it for you, but he still want you to forgive them and release them. They cannot go back and fix your childhood. They cannot put any of that back together. But the Holy Ghost is trying to put you back together. For the Lord has need of you in future days to do great exploits in his name. For the Lord has need of you to be whole in your mind and in your spirit. For he has great works and he has great exploits for you to do by the unction of the Holy Spirit. For the Lord has need of you. For I have hid my words in your heart. I have put my words in your mind and in your soul. I need you to be whole, that you will not contaminate my product as you would speak for me. May the Lord make you whole. May the Lord do a quick work in you in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray for hurting members. I pray for disappointed members, people who have been hurt in the body of Christ. May the Lord reach way down deep in you and may he push back and pull out anything negative that has been deposited in your heart by those who were before you. May you wake up optimism. May you wake up vitality. May newness of life and creativity spring forth from your spirit again. May you be able to birth that which is prophetic. And it will not be you talking about you. It will not be you speaking about your life any longer, but you will speak the oracles of God again. that the Lord will loose your tongue. May he put a sword in your mouth. May he loose your tongue to release his word forward. That'll cut not only away the things of dross, but it will also bring forth healing in the same swing. And Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it. If you receive it, come on, give the Lord a good hand of praise. Come on, give the Lord a good hand of praise.